My split sermon today is entitled Lessons from Lazarus. Lessons from Lazarus. You know, Lazarus had been dead 4 days when Jesus shouted, "Come out." Still wrapped in grave clothes, he got up and stumbled out of the grave chamber, alive and well. Not only did Christ prove he had the power over life and death, he also illustrated an important step to God's plan to save mankind. Unfortunately, the significance of this event found in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John is not widely understood. People do not realize the hope that lies within this story. Now, shortly after this event, Christ himself was killed and also resurrected. His resurrection as a spirit being instilled the hope of eternal life to all who have since been called to salvation. Lazarus, on the other hand, was not resurrected as a spirit being. He was only restored to his former mortal state. What many don't realize is that Lazarus's resurrection actually provides hope for the rest of mankind who have not yet been called to salvation. God desires all men to be saved, as it says in 1 Timothy 2:4, and is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's 2 Peter 3:9. However, not everyone is called to salvation during this lifetime. Only those whom God specifically draws. We're all familiar with John 6:44 and John 6:65. Millions, if not billions, have been blinded to the truth and have never known the true God. Let's look at Romans 11, verses 7 and 8. Romans 11, verses 7 and 8. Now, in Romans 11, verse 7, it says, "What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Just as it is written, God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear to this very day. They have not repented, not been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and received God's Holy Spirit, which are the fundamental prerequisites for receiving the gift of eternal life," as we read in Acts 2:38 and 39. So let's talk about the future resurrection. To fulfill his desires that all be saved, God has made provision for those who have not been called in this age. He will not let them perish forever. However, without the opportunity for salvation, if Christ can restore life to the dead, as he demonstrated with Lazarus, then he can restore those who have died so they can be offered salvation. This is not advocating a second chance at salvation. For those people who have been spiritually blinded, it will be their first and only chance. Christ did say that there will be a resurrection of the dead at a future time. Let's turn over to John 6, verse 39 and 40. John 6, 39 and 40. John 6, 39, it says, "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Paul too confirmed this in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 through 23. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 20. "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming." In 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to 18, 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning in verse 13, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." Verse 15, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Martha said, "I know that he, Lazarus, will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." John 11:24. Earlier, Jesus had said of this future event, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the grave will hear his voice and come forth." He clearly implies that the dead are still in the grave until the time of their resurrection. This brings up the concept of the immortal soul that we're going to touch on here for a moment. Contrary to the teachings of Christ and his apostles, many believe differently. Upon death, they say their soul departs from the body and continues to live a conscious existence in heaven, hell, or some other place. This concept implies that man already has immortality. If this is the case, then there is no need for a future resurrection. According to the Bible, immortality, or eternal life, isn't something that is inherent in us. It is something we must seek from God. Eternal life is a gift to those he has called. It is not something we are born with. Christ strongly rebuked the Sadducees for not believing in the resurrection. He said, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God." You find that in Matthew 22, verse 23 and 29 through 32. Resurrecting Lazarus from the grave 4 days after he died aptly demonstrated the power of God. Anyone whose teaching negates the need for a resurrection deserves the same rebuke. It doesn't take much research to confirm that the immortal soul theory is not biblically supported. Expressions like living soul and living creature found in Genesis are translations of the Hebrew word nephesh. Both nephesh and the Greek equivalent psuche, P-S-U-C-H-E, used in the New Testament simply mean a living creature and apply equally to both man and beast. You'll find Genesis 2:7. Let's turn over to Genesis 2:7. And we can confirm this. Genesis 2, verse 7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Ezekiel the prophet said, "The soul, or nephesh, who sins shall die." Ezekiel 18:4, "Behold, all souls are mine, the soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins shall die." If the soul can die, then it is not immortal. Those who mistakenly believe that man has an immortal soul that does not die are ignoring what the Bible plainly teaches. Now let's consider death as if asleep. There's often a reference to people in the Bible being asleep, and of course they're dead. God created man from the dust of the ground, to which he returns at death. All go to one place. All are from the dust, and all return to dust. Ecclesiastes 3:20. The Hebrew word Sheol and the Greek equivalent Hades, sometimes translated hell, simply mean the grave, where all go, both the righteous and the unrighteous. In the grave, there is no consciousness, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave. Ecclesiastes 9:10, very famous scripture. Nor is there any memory of God, For in death there is no remembrance of you, referring to God. In the grave, who will give you thanks? Psalm 6, verse 5. Paul referred to the death as if they were asleep, awaiting their resurrection. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 4 again, verse 13 and 14. 1 Thessalonians 4. We've gone over this once. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Christ also spoke about his friend Lazarus as if he were asleep, knowing full well that he was dead. Let's turn over to John 11, verses 11 through 14. John 11. John 11, 11. These things he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." Verse 12. Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest and sleep. Verse 14. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let's go to him." It is important to understand that the dead remain in the graves as if asleep until they are resurrected. Now let's talk about resurrection to life. Resurrection to life. Christ spoke about two different types of resurrection. "For the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." The word condemnation is better translated as judgment. Now, resurrection to life means resurrection to eternal life, an immortal spiritual existence. Those called to salvation who have been given God's Spirit and spend a lifetime overcoming evil will be resurrected as spirit beings when Christ returns at the end of the age. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15, verses 21 through 23. 1 Corinthians 15. "For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming." Now verses 49 through 54. "And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we also shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Also in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and 17, which we've covered already, but I want to go a little farther. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. The righteous dead are at this time in their graves. They don't live on after death as spirit beings in heaven. Jesus Christ is the only one so far who has been resurrected to eternal life. You can look at John 3:13 for a confirmation of that. Now let's look at the resurrection to judgment. Quite different. But what about the rest of the dead? Instead of being resurrected to eternal life, the rest of the dead who have not repented and been baptized will later be restored to a mortal, physical existence, just as Lazarus was restored to his former physical state. The majority of mankind who have never been called to salvation will be resurrected as physical, mortal beings to be given their opportunity of salvation. This momentous event will occur over 1,000 years after Christ returns. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years was finished. Revelation 20, verses 4 and 5. This is the resurrection to judgment that Christ spoke of. And those who have done evil shall come forth to the resurrection of condemnation or judgment. The prophets of old wrote about this future time, when billions upon billions of people will be restored to a physical existence and given the opportunity to be reconciled to God. Let's turn over to Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37, verses 4 to 14. This, of course, is the chapter about the Valley of Dry Bones. Ezekiel 37, verses 4 to 14. Ezekiel 37, 4. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Boy, that's repeated so many times in the Bible. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. The word judgment does not necessarily mean condemnation. It means a time of testing and proving. During this time, the books of the Bible will be opened for their understanding, and the book of life will also be opened to receive their names. Let's look at Revelation 20, verses 11 through 13. Revelation 20. Revelation 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. They will not have to contend with the direct influence of Satan at that time, as it says in Revelation 21, 1 through 3. When speaking about the last days, the prophet Joel said, in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Joel 2, 28 through 32. If they accept what God offers, they will not have to die the second time. So let's discuss the second death. Those who reject their calling will die again, with no further opportunity of resurrection. The book of Revelation indicates that those who willingly choose to reject God will be destroyed. Their bodies will be burned up in the lake of fire, a fate prepared for Satan and his demons. Revelation 20, 10 and 14 and 15. They will be ashes, ashes under the feet, as it says in Malachi 4, verses 1 and 3. The second death is permanent. It is eternal death. Now let's talk about the hope for those not saved. The resurrection of Lazarus was not without purpose. It was a dramatic demonstration of Christ's power over life and death, illustrating an important step in God's plan for the salvation of all mankind. When Jesus raised Lazarus, he was showing the difference between two types of resurrection: his own resurrection to eternal life, is that which will be experienced by those called to salvation in this age. But Lazarus' resurrection to physical life demonstrated how God intends to offer salvation to the rest of humanity. They will be brought back to life 1,000 years later, so they too can receive their opportunity. God's plan of salvation is for all humanity. Each in their own time will have the opportunity of salvation. Those who have not been called to salvation in this lifetime are not lost. They will get their chance. What a great and merciful God we have.